Every picture tells a story.
It is important for us to make sure that very graphic photos of somebody who was shot in the head are not floating around as an incitement to additional violence, as a propaganda tool. You know, that's not who we are.
No picture tells another story.
I'm Joe Alvarez from Tacoma, Washington. There is no reason not to publish the photos. If we don't publish them, the terrorists have won.
A gruesome, we're told, set of photos will stay in the archives. The debate over what to show the public will apparently continue.
The no photo op on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. No picture of Osama bin Laden is a big story about President Barack Obama. It's Thursday, May 5th.
Let's get a check of the morning of the news. Today, President Obama will make his first visit to Ground Zero since taking office. He'll lay a wreath at the World Trade Center site and meet privately with families of 9/11 victims and first responders. He will not, however, make any public remarks. That visit comes after the president decided not to release photographs of the body of Osama bin Laden.
We are absolutely certain this was him. We've done DNA sampling and testing. And so there is no doubt that we killed Osama bin Laden.
The president says releasing the images could just incite more violence. But former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani thinks the government should preempt any possible leak of the photos by releasing them now.
The reality is the pictures are eventually going to get out. And then you just relive the intensity of all of this a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now.
Meanwhile, there's been no shortage of fake photographs. Three U.S. senators have issued retractions to statements they made after seeing fake photos of bin Laden's body yesterday and probably downloading a virus along with the photos.
Perhaps. Pakistan has faced a slew of questions about how bin Laden was able to hide in plain sight, allegedly for years, in that city of Abbottabad. This morning, Pakistan's foreign minister Salman Bashir says once again, Pakistani authorities did not know Osama bin Laden's whereabouts.
To infer that elements of the ISI or of the government were actually providing cover to Osama bin Laden is absolutely wrong.
But the Pakistani government says it's launching an inquiry into the intelligence labs. At least 11 people have been detained for questioning. And shifting the blame, Bashir also says there are legal questions about the U.S. raid on bin Laden's compound. We'll have more on bin Laden's death with The New York Times' Nick Kristof later this hour, who will take a look at all of the swirling events in the region. Thousands of people from Illinois to Louisiana have already been forced from their homes, many more preparing to leave as the waters of the Mississippi River continue to rise. The president has declared an emergency for parts of Tennessee, Mississippi, and Kentucky. Forecasters and emergency officials say some of the high water records set during the great floods of 1927 and 1937 could fall today.
Iraqi officials are blaming al-Qaeda for plotting a suicide bombing that killed 17 policemen and wounded more than 60 people at a police station south of Baghdad this morning. No one's claimed responsibility for that attack. This morning, Syria's state-run TV is reporting the army has started withdrawing from the southern city of Daraa, which has been under military siege for more than a week, but activists are disputing that report.
In Japan, a milestone at the Fukushima nuclear complex. Workers have entered the reactor building at Unit 1 for the first time in 2 months to connect ventilation equipment to help absorb radiation. And General Motors plans to invest $131 million in the Kentucky plant that assembles the Corvette, creating 250 new jobs. Asian markets mixed. European indices are down. Oil is trading significantly down, about $106 a barrel. Futures down for Wall Street. The Dow gets underway at 12,723. The S&P opens at 1,347. And the Nasdaq opens at 2,828. Coming up this morning, New York Times columnist Nick Kristof on the effects of bin Laden's death around the Middle East. Reaction from former Senator Bob Graham, who's the former chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, on how it might change our intelligence strategy. Lessons learned. And we're going to begin our discussion talking about that photography issue. Photo or no photo? It's still a story.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.